is Run Hunter, brought to you by Raider Media.
Gotta get the ball running.
Coming up on the show, we hear from Olympic golden boy Wade Finucane, discover the Epic Roads Marathon while looking ahead to the MediHelp Sunrise Monster, find out more about the great work that Chock is doing, Steve Hill uncovers another new goodie while Darren Brahm updates us with his comrade's progress, and we hear from Alpha Centurion Running Club. Welcome to episode 5 of Run Hunter. Hope you had a great week of running. Another super 7 days awaits. It's episode 5 and it's great to be back. As always, drop us a line on Twitter. It's at DerekAlberts1 or email info@raider.media. First, let's kick off the show with a great giveaway from last week.
Gonna hit the ground running.
So in last week's episode, our friends from Puma very kindly gave us a pair of shoes to give away. They launched the hybrid NX and NXTZ designed for the everyday runner. Now it says, to own the streets, one has to hustle for it. Thankfully, hustling is what Puma does best. Their newest performance shoe, hybrid NX men's and hybrid NXTZ women's, is built for people who never compromise, no matter how they choose to run. The shoe has it all for the everyday runner. And it retails for 1,699 Rand. And we went onto social media when we launched it. And we wanted to know from listeners, when does it hit the stores? Now, on the line, we've got Mapumulo Zikode. And yeah, he responded almost immediately. Mapumulo, good morning. Tell us, when do the shoes hit the stores?
Oh, so thank you very much for this opportunity. The Puma Hybrid NX is rocking on the 1st of March 2019, which is today.
100% correct. Congratulations. The shoes are yours. We'll be sending them to you ASAP. You happy?
Wow. Yeah, thank you very much, sir.
Absolute pleasure. Mapumulo, are you a big runner?
Yes, I like to run a lot.
Lovely. So these will fit you perfectly. Once you get them, be sure to put them on social media and tag us along for the ride. And let's see how they fit.
No problem, sir.
Excellent stuff. We'll be getting to you to them ASAP, all courtesy of Puma. That is the Hybrid NX and NXTZ launching on the 1st of March. You can get them at your retailers. Thanks so much. Enjoy it, Mapumulo.
Thank you very much, sir.
Gonna hit the ground running.
Congrats, Mapumulo. Enjoy the shoes. Mine actually just arrived today. I can't wait to try them out on the road. Now, staying with the road, last weekend we featured the Deloitte Pretoria Marathon Challenge. Well done to the winners, Ntekele Mokgweetsi and Effet van Sale. This weekend sees the monster take to the streets.
Gonna hit the ground running.
Right, as always, we look ahead to the weekend's races. Plenty coming up in Gauteng, and there's a big one on Sunday. Well, Saturday, rather. It's the MediHelp Sunrise Monster, Mini and Baby Monster, and it's organized by Harlequin Harriers. On the line, we've got one of the race organizers, Jeff Hess. Jeff, thanks for joining us. Excited for the weekend.
Yes, absolutely, Derek. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a long-established race. It's our 42nd year of running it. I think we know more or less how to arrange it at this stage. And yes, we're looking for about 8,000 participants on the day.
42nd year of Organize. That's an incredible milestone. So congratulations on the longevity of the race. Tell us a bit more about it. It's not a marathon, but it's got a nice big distance in a 32. So for someone like me, where a marathon just a little too big a stretch, a 32 is perfect, although I'll still struggle.
Yes, well, actually, you're quite right. Many of the participants do actually suggest that the 32-year is equivalent to many other of the 42 marathons around. And, of course, the name speaks for itself, Sunrise Monster. It starts precisely at sunrise in the morning, which is 06:03. And then the monster, that tab was given by an announcer called Dave Jack many years ago when he ran it, and he decided that this is a real toughie and it's the ultimate comrades conditioner.
0603. I love the synergy. I think it's a great idea. And I take it that's been the standard throughout the history of the race?
It has been. Every year since we've run it, since 1978.
Talk us through the route of the 32K. And as always, you don't need to go through every single kilometer, but a general idea of what athletes can expect?
Okay, well, the general idea is up, up, and up. But tongue-in-cheek there, but essentially we start from the Groenkloof Club here in Pretoria, and we move around towards the Lucasrand Makkelnet suburb, where you would go past the so-called Telkom Tower. You get an excellent view of the city of Pretoria. Then you traverse across towards the suburb of Groenkloof, whereafter you go down to the Fountain Circle. I think many people do know the Fountain Circle. From there we go up the road on the airport freeway, and we enter the Klapperkop Nature Reserve. So we traverse there amongst all the wildebeest, red-hartebeest, and the zebra, who are keen onlookers on the morning. And when we get to the top of Klapperkop, the 32 guys go down and go right through Monument Park before actually coming back into the established Waterkloof suburb. And then we come back towards the Klapperkop.
I love the fact that you speak about it's up, up, and up, because that really is the case. And if you look at the website on Runner's Guide, I mean, just a brief synopsis of it, this is a demanding route, make no bones about it. The monster is a scenic race that takes in many of the green suburbs of Pretoria, and the 32K event incorporates a challenging tar road hill section, as you mentioned, across the Groenkloof terrain. Now, just having a look at the profile, I mean, you're only going to look at your first down really at around the 7 kilometer mark, and that's only for about 2Ks. And then you've got a real stretch from 10 to about 12, 13 Ks upwards. Well, actually straight up to 15. So that next 5 is extremely tough. I mean, if anything, or if ever a name qualifies for an event, the monster certainly does.
Yes, certainly. You know, there are not that many long hills in road running in South Africa. Obviously, you think of comrades and all that, but the longest hill that I've run really has been Okapse Weg on the Two Oceans in Cape Town, and that's about 7 kilometers. So our 1 year is very similar to that. You start at Fountain Circle, right up to the top in Sterrewag is the suburb, and I think that's why they call it Sterrewag, because it's pretty high up.
Last couple of weeks, we've chatted to race organizers, and they've spoken about the terrible economic times, and as a result, a lot of them have lost their naming sponsors. Good to see that you've got MediHelp front and center for you guys.
Absolutely. We were very privileged to have MediHelp on board. This is now our 12th consecutive year with them. We believe we've got a symbiotic-type, synonymous relationship between our running club and also the health consciousness of the MediHelp medical scheme. So we work together very well as a sponsoring party and race organizers. And we look forward for many years in the future as well.
And as I spoke about earlier, Harlequin Harriers organizing the race.
That's right, yes. Also one of the aged private or open clubs in Pretoria. Clearly, as you would know, that many of the academia and the services clubs did have athletic organizations for a long time. But in terms of running clubs in the city, the first open running club that really started was by George Clarkson, the late George Clarkson, the Springbok captain, Wynand Clarkson's father. He started the Pretoria Marathon Club. He's also a previous comrades winner. So he started that club, and then soon thereafter, Harlequins was formed in 1977.
Wow, Vernon Claassen. Now, I've got a lovely story about him when we were in the Supersport studios. I was manning the desk with him as my guest. The very first time he was actually ever in studio, but it's a very funny story, but I'll save it for another day. If you ever do catch up with Vernon, you must ask him about it, Jeff. I think it's best that we keep things like that a little quiet. But finally, Jeff, entries, you said around 8,000 runners, if I'm not mistaken. And is it full up or can people still enter?
No, people can still enter, Derek. We are encouraging people to either enter online, as all events do, and those that don't still have an option of entering at sports, running sports in Pretoria and Johannesburg. And then also tomorrow, yeah, at the venue, that means Friday, between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., anyone is welcome to come and enter for any of the distances. And then likewise, the same again on Saturday morning prior to the start.
And that website to enter?
At the moment, the website is closed, so I think you can't do it through the website anymore, but otherwise you can look up through race results website, and you can get all the details on the flyer there as well.
Fantastic. Jeff, have a great event. I'm sure it will go off swimmingly, and yeah, we'll see you at the starting line when that gun goes off at 06:03 a.m.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the wishes there, and anyone still wishing to come and enter the race, come along and conquer the monster this year.
Love it. Cheers, Jeff.
Thank you, Derek.
So an exciting race awaits. Now let's move over to the track for this week's big interview. Gonna hit the ground running. Now the world is waiting to see when 400-meter world record holder Wade van Niekerk will return to the track. The 26-year-old's been on a slow road back to recovery since suffering a serious knee injury in a charity touch rugby game back in 2007. Now, he sat down with the media this past week. I'll fill in the questions that were posed to him. Firstly, how's he feeling at the moment?
Well, not totally 100% yet. Still got quite a bit of work to do. So I'm not really too focused on when I'm going to run right now. I still know that I have to invest quite a bit in training. So that's where my heart lays right now.
Was the break a blessing in disguise?
It was amazing. I had a bit of time to be very lazy. But as training started kicking in full steam, I got back to that hard work and what I love doing. So it was a nice refresh, a reset, but I'm very amped and excited to start, or not even start. I've been working for quite a while now, and just to come out there and compete again would be very lovely.
You recently returned to the track for the first time since claiming the Provincial Free State Championship title. He finished 4.25 seconds slower than his best ever 400-meter mark. How did it go?
It helped me identify quite a lot of areas that I need to work on. It showed me a lot of places that I've been missing out for a long time now. So I'm trying to apply it again in training and trying to challenge myself in training again, because I think you always try and seek that comfort spot so that you avoid the pains and the aches. But now I know I need to dig in a bit deeper now to confront those pains and aches to be able to compete the 400 the way I prefer and I like. Yeah, felt quite good. Body was a bit sore after that, but that's normal. I think I'm quite satisfied with how I felt and even what I did that day. It made me feel in control of how I'm gonna run again.
His thoughts on the ongoing Caster Semenya trial?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I really believe that Caster is a very, very strong character. And for me as a friend, I believe that my best way now to support her is to support her from the side and allow her to fight her battles and to be able to stand firm in what she believes. I really admire for standing for women and for trying to fight for women equality, and it's something that's inspiring for myself, and I really respect her for what she's doing, and I really believe she'll come back stronger. She's shown it before and she'll show us again.
What did he make of the SA athletes at the Commonwealth Games and SA 200 meter record holder Clarence Munyai, who broke Wade's previous record last year?
Well, First of all, I think watching the guys at the Commonwealth was massive. Seeing how great they've been doing and all this, like I said, all the silverware that they brought home was very exciting for the country and for athletics in a whole. And I think it's something that motivates me and makes me want to be part of that mix again and bring silverware from my side as well. So to me, it was more a motivation than anything other. With Clarence, I really think that he's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of strength and opportunities for him, especially with the current image of South African athletics. He's got a great advantage now to use that as his as advantage and as momentum to use this great force of South African athletics to push himself to his best abilities and capabilities. I really think he just needs to find some consistency and try and repeat that again. And I mean, there's no harm in someone doing great in life. So I do my thing and he does his.
What scares Wade?
Well, life scares everyone in general. I mean, I went out there to set massive goals for myself from this return for me personally. And I think that alone is scary, but it doesn't. It shouldn't dictate the steps that I'm going to take to conquer it or to achieve it. So I'm sure each and every one of you go wake up with somewhat of a fear, but I've got a lot of faith and I've been working a massive journey with the Lord, and I really think that there's great things awaiting me.
Does he feel the weight of expectation now that he's returning following what he's achieved in the past?
Yeah, I've done it before. So why not do it again? I don't see myself as that world or Olympic champion anymore. That's really the past to me. I think even the day after I got those medals, I was on to the next one already. And that's where my heart is at and where my mind is at. I've got so much that I want to achieve, that I believe I can achieve. And I really don't want to, although it was all goods and positives and greats that and milestones that I ticked off in my life, but to be honest with you, I really think that there's so much greater for me. And if I'm going to be dwelling on that grades that I've achieved this far, I might not reach the potentials that I want to. So my mind is on where I can go and where I want to be. I'm more than where I was and what I have achieved. Nah, it's no secret. I'm going for that 42. It's no beating around the bush or trying to. That's where my heart is, that's where my mind is, and that's where I'm going to go.
What does he make of the new talent coming through in athletics in South Africa?
It's a bit unfair because I still thought I was part of the new era, and then I got to world champs, and so I was the oldest in the final. So it's crazy how quick it goes. So that's why I really can't take this process of getting back again for granted, because it's moving quick, and I need to get myself back in the mix as soon as possible.
Is he confident that the best is yet to come from him?
Yeah, I mean, if I look at the history of athletics, majority of athletes' peak periods is from where I am right now to just above 30. So I believe I still have quite a bit of mileage to do and quite a bit of hard work to do for me to be able to reach the ultimate potential that I think I have. And I think I still have a lot of work to do, and it's a massive honor for me to hear things like this from greats like Usain Bolt and so much other great athletes. I mean, it hit me by surprise seeing all the respect that I have in track and field, and something that me as a person uses as motivation and as a confidence booster to know that I am admired from so many other athletes out there and respected by so many other athletes out there. And it makes me not want to take this process lightly. I want to make sure that I execute it as best as possible.
And finally, will he ever play touch rugby again?
No, I mean, I've learned my lesson. I've seen that touch rugby doesn't work for me. So I'll go back to being an athlete, maybe one day with my kids or for fun. But right now, I'm purely just focused on track. Yeah, make that the headlines. Wade has retired from touch rugby.
Gonna hit the ground running.
Lovely to hear from Wade, and great to hear that he's on track to return to the track. Now, you'll hear from Darren Kubel-Brom a little later. That's regarding his comrades training, but he's had a very interesting week. Firstly, he's a finalist to be an actual character in a video game coming up called Boot Fighter. It really is a thing. Then he got a call saying he had cracked the nod for a famous or infamous race down in the Eastern Cape. Gonna hit the ground running. Now, it wasn't too long ago, about 2 days ago, in fact, I got a very excited call from him telling me that he's just been accepted as a wildcard entry into the 31st Road Run, which is taking place on the 29th of June, 2019. And I've heard legendary tales about this run. I'm originally from the Eastern Cape, so I know the area fairly well. And just going, the opening tagline on the website, South Africa's iconic breathtaking trail run is staged in the tranquil beauty of the southern Drakensberg Mountains, surrounding the Victorian era village of Rhodes. Now, with me on the line, all the way from Port Elizabeth, we've got the race director, route director, one of the founding members, so to speak. It's been running for 31 years, or going to be. He's been involved for 30 of them. Daryl Robenheimer, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us more about this legendary run, because I've heard tales few and far between. I'm not too sure what I can believe anymore, but man, I want to get involved.
Hi, Derek. Thanks for having me on the show. I guess as with most fishermen, roads being a very good fly fishing area, runners tend to exaggerate. So whatever you've heard, you can probably bet your bottom dollar it's exaggerated. The run started 31 years ago. With the idea to put or to keep Rhodes alive, the village alive. It was a very small village. It was dying, as most of Platteland villages were and are, going back 30-odd years. And the concept was to, unheard of in those days, a trail run, throwing guys up a mountain and bringing them down safely in the middle of winter.
Yeah, just looking at the pictures, I mean, it looks unbelievable for competitors to take on this challenge. Now, when I first heard about it, would be about 3 or 4 years ago, properly, when I first got into running. I mean, I'd heard whispers when I was still based in the Eastern Cape. But, 4 years ago, heard a bit about it. I said, oh, great, I want to enter. But it wasn't as simple as that. I managed to find a website, got hold of Esty, who's your wife, if I'm not mistaken, got hold of her, and then suddenly I was on this very, 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 very long waiting list, which I'm still waiting. I was very chuffed for Darren to get his wildcard entry. But yeah, it's not a simple process, and it just goes to show how sought after an entry is for this iconic race.
Well, it's very much so. I mean, the waiting list is about 5 years, and you're on the waiting list. The substitution facility works remarkably well. So after you've been on the waiting list for a year, you can substitute and run with someone else's invitation. It's an invitation-only event, effectively. And the challenge is there's a whole host of different things with it. The one is that it's a fairly remote part of the country, and for most South Africans, it's a part of the world that they don't get to visit unless there's something to draw them there. And the run certainly does that. Having it in the middle of winter, there's also the possibility of snow, certainly cold. We've had the race start in minus 15, minus 16, which is a tad bracing. When they reach the part of the route takes them all the way up to touch the Lesotho border, what they call the Lesotho Border Road, which is actually the highest contour path that a vehicle can travel in South Africa. And they would usually be running into a headwind. So any headwind coming off the snowfield at Ben McDewey would certainly drop the temperature even more. And then we run them across another section where there are no trails, no tracks. It's flagged, and as I always tell the guys, it really depends on my mood as to how we flag it. And our oldest son, Andrew, who's taken over a lot of the flagging duties from me in the last couple of years, he's got the same sensibility and tends to sort of route a testing track. And that little section along Hoogendorp Ridge is called has been named the Tufts of Terror. So there's usually a fair amount of Navy language coming from that. So there's a lot in the route that makes it of appeal to runners. And then we have quite a few traditions that you've probably read about as well on the website, which also make it, give it a certain uniqueness and different flavor.
Yeah, well, tell us a bit more about those traditions. I have had a look, but for those that aren't too au fait with exactly what it entails.
Well, some of them, one of the ones that the most of the runners will be aware of is our Polar Bear Club. And the origins of the Polar Bear Club are that the chaps would go for a swim in the Bell River on the Saturday evening. And there's a certificate which they can purchase. So the funds go towards the Rhodes Vulture restaurant. And the certificate certifies that they've had a swim, having cracked the ice at the edge of the river, and all they were wearing is a silly grin. So they then qualify as a polar bear, and their T-shirts, funding for that, goes towards the Vulture restaurant as well. One of the other traditions is that the village is woken up an hour before race start with the church bell, which Evie, as race director, traditionally rings. And this year is her 23rd year as race director, so she's been pulling that gong for quite a while out there to wake the village. And then at registration, everyone receives some old brown to keep them warm while they're waiting the registration queue. And at the finish, everyone receives a bottle of old brown. So a couple of fairly healthy traditions that we keep going over the years. Another one more recent, I think it's only been going for about 10 years, we have a cut-off blanket. We have a cut-off at the top of Mavis Bank, which is about 21 kilometers, and it's into the run. The run itself is 52 kilometers, give or take, depending on the mood of the guys marking the route. And at 21 kilometers, the top of Mavis, the cutoff is 4.5 hours. Anyone who doesn't reach that 21 kilometers by 4.5 hours, which seems really lenient, but isn't when you get out there, then they are forced to retire, and we will give them a lift back to the village. The first person to miss the cutoff receives a unique embroidered blanket with the year that they didn't make the cut. And in fact, we have one person who has received that blanket twice. It's a pretty challenging feat to achieve, to receive that blanket twice. But anyway, yeah.
I know that Darren is going to be hell-bent on not receiving that blanket, and were he to get it, he'll never hear the end of it. I love the Polar Bear Club, so it's not that clothing is optional, it's strictly forbidden. And this is the one instance where you can really truthfully use the line, it's that small because it's cold.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's also the other line we use with that, it's Rhodes is the only place on the planet where polar bears support vultures.
Absolutely love it. Now, of course, given the fact that there is a waiting list, I'm sure that entries are limited in terms of competitors that take on the route. How many do you have on a yearly basis on average, or do you stick to an exact number?
We kept the entries at about 300. There's a couple of reasons for it. The one is part of our ethos is to not have a whole bunch of guys out on the trail. If people are running trail, we want them to experience the natural wilderness and of the southern Drakensberg. With a bit of luck, there might see lammergeiers and certainly mountain reebok and greywing. And if they slow past the rivers, they might even see some rainbow trout. So it's limited to, they have the chaps enjoy the run. The other reason is that there's certain sections where it is off trail and in the mountain, and there's a safety issue there as well. So if weather does come in, as has happened in the past, we kind of don't have too many people running into Lesotho without passports. And another issue is that the village itself is really small, and accommodation is limited. So folk will stay in the village and farms around the area and in Barkley East. There are a couple of reasons why we limit it to 300.
Yeah, I was going to ask about accommodation, because I see that Darren's biggest hassle now, apart from training for conditions which he's never experienced before, especially out on a run, is the accommodation side. And when I mentioned to you earlier off air that I had this friend competing, he had this wry giggle saying, I wish him the best of luck because he's certainly going to need it. And also in terms of finding accommodation, because as you mentioned, it is tiny. And would camping be a viable option given the temperatures?
Absolutely. If a guy's got the right kit, the camp, there's a very good campsite, and quite a few guys do camp. There's hot water, showers, and certainly in the old days, camping was warm. It was warmer camping than it was in some of the houses, because some of the houses back in the day, 20 odd years ago, were a little bit threadbare around the walls and windows, and camping was warmer. But certainly, if you've got the right kit, camping is definitely an option. And as I say, a number of guys do camp.
You've been involved since almost the very beginning, as mentioned. Now, there must be some things that you've seen over the time that stick to your memory and think, hell, what have I just witnessed? What's been the best performance that you've seen, and other moments which you can recount back and say, wow, that I was part of history?
Oh, that's a tough one. Over 30 years, there's a lot that's happened, and we've seen all sorts of runners. I mean, and all sorts of conditions. I think two events stand out. The one a number of years ago where we started and there was a cloud coming in from the west, and the front runners got across Hoogenhoek Ridge, which is at about 30 kilometers, and started going down the drop back into the valley and into roads, which is the Carlisle Hook section. And the clouds came through, and as the chaps were coming to the top of Mavis Bank, which is where I usually wait for them, it started snowing. And we have some of these wonderful photographs where the early runners are running across Hoogenhoek Ridge and taking photographs with their mobile phones. And it's brown as, you know, normal felt in midwinter. And an hour later, they're running in calf deep snow. Or the other runners are running in calf deep snow. And there's another one where a heavy snow came in on the Friday night, and we were really concerned as to you know, the routes that would follow. But from the Wednesday, we'd seen the weather forecast coming through, and Evie and I had planned five different route options. So on the Saturday morning, we just made a call as to one route. I won't give you the whole detail as to what happened on the 2 o'clock on the Saturday morning when we were checking some of the routes. And we ended up sending them out on sort of an F shape. It was a shortened route. And at the one checkpoint, which as they go into a valley, we were turning them, and only, I think, the first three or four runners made the checkpoint. When I got to the checkpoint, I saw there was a blizzard coming towards us, and we then created what I've termed a mobile checkpoint, and we drove towards the runners, and as we met them, we turned them, and so that the front guys ran that day's full distance, which wasn't the full distance of the route, and the slower runners ran a shorter race. But everyone had a whale of a time because they were running in snow the whole time. It was falling snow, so it was what they come for. Another year, we couldn't get the guys into the cliff, and we only managed to get the flags out in October. The snow was that deep, and in fact, we lost most of the flags that year. we've had some interesting years. We've also had years when there's been no snow, and you know, we've started off in a +2, +3. So, you know, as with any event, you're sort of governed by climate at times.
It's hard to predict so far away. It's 121 days before the race takes off. Any ideas as to weather conditions so far in advance?
Yes.
Well, tell us.
There will be. There will be weather. Derek, we get that from almost from August, September the previous year, of people sort of contacting us and asking what's the weather going to be. And you could have three different weather conditions, four different weather conditions on race day, and we've certainly had that. So we always tell the guys, when you start, don't discard your kit. I remember quite a few years ago now, a very well-known Johannesburg Comrades gold medalist started off with a cold weather gear, and he got to the first checkpoint, where I always tell the guys, don't keep your cold weather gear, because you don't know what it's going to be like at the top. And when I say at the top, the Rhodes Village is at about 1,800 meters, which is the same as Johannesburg at that. And we take the guys up to about 2,700. So there's a fair amount of altitude change, and at the on the border road, the Lesotho border is 2,700 metres. It can get quite chilly and the climate will be different. Anyway, he got to the first checkpoint and he was feeling a bit warm, so took off his cold weather gear and handed it in instead of keeping it. Got to the top and was met by an absolute freezing wind and a bit of snow, and sort of completed the rest of the race in just sort of normal running kit. And on the Friday night, he'd been looking forward to running three times to get his snowflake permanent number. And when he finished on the Saturday, there was no way he was ever coming back to road. So he had a miserable day out there. So yeah, sometimes it pays to listen to some of the advice that's thrown out at pre-race briefings.
I'll make sure to rub it in next time I see Bruce Fordyce. It sounds fantastic.
That's one comrade gold medalist who hasn't been to visited us. So.
Oh, damn. Okay, I'll make sure that he does come. We actually had him on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Although his good friend and competitor back in the day, Alan, has had a couple of runs with us, and he certainly thoroughly enjoyed them. And he kept his cold weather gear.
Oh, man. And just on with regards to the cold weather gear, so you said it helps to heed the advice of the experts and the locals and the race director. So I've got my friend Darren, who's getting ready for this epic event. And his nickname is Q-Ball, and it's not because he has a full head of hair. Would you advise someone like him to definitely wear a beanie? And what other tips can you give to newbies?
Certainly. Well, it's just layer. I mean, it's, you know, what most of the publications and sort of training tips are given is just, you know, have layers of kit on you. Don't have anything too heavy. Have something that's certainly going to be water splash proof with you. Gloves are fairly important. Certainly something on the top, even if you have got a full head of hair, a beanie or something on top to keep the heat in. And the other thing that more and more runners are starting to use in South Africa, and we've certainly encouraged it for many years, even before it was common in South Africa, and that is the use of hiking poles. They would certainly assist not only on the hills to sort of pull you through and sort of help you up the hill, but also when you start getting tired, if you practice running with them, and you can use them almost like a catamaran hull, and they just keep your balance if you just keep flicking them on the side. So you know, as you get a bit weary, as some folk want to do after 40 odd k's on trail, they do help you keep balance and help you keep upright. So hiking poles, especially those nice little collapsible ones, are certainly recommended. And the other thing you always recommend anyone take with them is a camera or their cell phone, so they can, you know, take photographs, memories.
Oh, man, he's going to have such an amazing time. He can't stop talking about it since he got the nod to take part. And finally, logistics, Daryl. For those not in the area, what's the easiest way to get through to Rhodes? And also for people hearing this for the first time, now they want to take part. As mentioned, it's going to take a while before they get accepted. I'm on year number 4, so I'm hoping next year is the year. What do they do cost-wise? If they want to be in there in a couple of years' time, how do they go about it?
The first step would be to register on the waiting list as you did, Derek, and that's at our website, roadsrunza.net. Then the travel route through, there's no flight into Rhodes, so everyone would drive through. And certainly if you're coming from the Gauteng area, it's down through Bloemfontein, Aliwal North, throw a left at Aliwal, go past Lady Grey into Barkley East, and that's all tar road. And then from Barkley East, you've got 60 kilometres of good district road, good quality district road through the village of Rhodes. If you're coming from the coast, Natal, the guys would come up through pass from Tartu or Matatiel. Port Elizabeth, we go up through Craddock and Aliwal North as well and follow the same route.
I mean, we've spoken about the legendary tales that we've heard about. I've also heard special things regarding the feed stations.
Derek, yes, there are a couple of specialities at our feed stations, and the one feed station which is crewed by the staff from Tiffindale Ski Resort, they usually had some sort of fiery fluids there, Jägermeister and the like, some Old Brown to keep the guys going over those tufts of terror. And then there's another feed station, which is hosted by Dave Walker of Walkabout's establishment in Rhodes Village. And he has protein supplements. So, you know, running at altitude, guys deplete their protein significantly, and we encourage the guys to take some of the protein supplements from Walkabout's, which are the traditional Eastern Cape prairie oysters. Another significant difference that we have at, or a point that we have at our feed stations, is that going back more than 10, 11 years, another event that Evie and I created, which is the Bavion's Kloof Trail Run, was the first event on the planet that did not have any cups at its feed station. So we have a no cup, no run rule at Bavion's Kloof, which we've emulated at the Rhodes Run. So everyone at checkpoints would be checked if they had certain safety equipment and that they have a cup that they can drink with, because there are no cups at the feed station. And that's to stop wind blowing blowing cups into the felt. And it also, obviously, in places such as Rhodes, reduces landfill.
Magnificent. Bravo. I think that's an incredible initiative. And what an incredible event. And it just keeps on going from strength to strength. Have a great one.
Thanks, Derek. Thank you.
From good old EC to Clarence, time to find out more about the wonderful world of chalk. Gonna hit the ground running. Now, last week, I chatted to Cindy Louise White, and she was a mother living for adventure, living for fitness, living for being active, but all for the name of a good cause. On the line now, I've got a man. He's been doing something. He only got into running about 3 or 4 years ago, and since then, he's been out and out doing it, firstly for fun, but now it's completely changed tact with regards to his motivation. Libby Opperman on the line from Clarence, because he's doing a nice race out there tomorrow. But Libby, tell us a bit more about your overall goal when it comes to running, or your overall motivation and how it's changed over the last couple of months.
Good, Derek. Are you well?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm perfect. No, so look, last year, the year before that, when I did my third comrade, I decided, I'm running anyway, so I just might as well run for a good cause. And then I ran for Chock, which is the cows.
Yes.
And then I ran for them last year. And last November, I lost my youngest brother on because of cancer. And I just obviously sort of now I'm going to run for them even more. And this year, I ran for Chock again, and next year, a good cause. And if you look at all the kids and everybody out there that suffer of this terrible disease, it's like I said, I'm running anyway, so I just might as well run for a good cause.
Oh, man, I'm really, really sorry to you. Obviously, I know you on a personal level, so I do know what took place with your brother. So, my heartfelt condolences. And it's amazing the good things that Chock have been doing, and it's impossible to miss them out on the road. And they're also involved in the cycling world as well. You see them out on their bikes, and it's an amazing initiative, how they go about things.
Yeah, sure. It's fun on the road. So, it's like a little cow joke when you're running and you run past people and you get your cow suit on and people will go, move it. And you just get lots of support because obviously with the kids we're running, you can spot the cow from some distance away. And people, they will say, like, go Libby, go cow. So it's good to keep support on the road.
Libby, how do people go about donating to the cause with regards to what Chock stands for?
So obviously there's a bit of a carrot if you run for Chock for comrades as well. So obviously if you raise the minimum amount of R6,000, it's not even a lot, you get to jump your seeding. So, you can start in seeding C, that's C, which for the people that run there before, instead of taking 10 minutes to get over the start, you're right there in front. So running for a charity, for comrades specific, it's a lot of it's actually quite a big advantage. You run for them because you are moving forward so much in the queue. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And if people want to donate to your cause, how do they go about doing it?
I'm going to start us again. So if people want to donate to my cause, my aim this year is to reach 30,000 rand. I think at the moment I'm already on 11. I've got a link on Facebook. And you just click on it. They made it so easy. Click on it. You click donate. Put in your credit card details. And then it goes through. It's easy as that.
Libby Opperman is his name. If you need to search for him on Facebook, Libby, full disclosure, I've known you for a long time. And, as part of our friendship, also as part of the wonderful thing that you have been doing and with regards to what Chock is doing, Run Hunter will donate 1,000 rand to the cause.
Derek, it's awesome. Thank you very much. I will write your name on my shoes on Comets Day.
Oh, I love it. Listen, Libby, finally, you've got a big race tomorrow. Tell us about what's happening in Clarence.
So I'm doing the Surrender Yield tomorrow morning. It's first time. It's in Clarence. I've never done it before. Apparently, it's hectic. I end the name Surrender Yield. So I'm looking forward to it. Just a training run. I've qualified already. So it's just basically to get some time on the legs. This year, obviously, with Comrade, it will be an up run. So yield training is very important. Running yields, and that's pretty much what I'm doing in the marathon. I think it's nice to hang out in Clarence, and after the race, have a couple of cold ones.
Lovely, Libby. Unfortunately, the line's not great, given that you are in Clarence, but best of luck for the race, best of luck for Comrades, and best of luck for your initiative.
Derek, thank you very much, and thank you for the support, and I'll see you next year on the race with me.
Lovely stuff. Gonna hit the ground running. Seeing as we've spoken about him so much, let's catch up with Q-Ball and see how his comrades prep and now Rhodes prep is going.
Q-Ball's Comrades Corner.
How's it, Derek? Yes, this week is a big week for me, but going back to the weekend, I did a 20K with Tech Steve. Steve did a 25. It felt a little bit more energetic. And I felt really good on the run. You know, just going, just in the beginning parts of the run, I feel that my RTB injury plays up a little bit, and I've got sort of a tight glute, which affects the hip. And so in the beginning, it's really difficult for me to get going until it's warmed up. And it's not a bad thing if I'm looking for positives, because I do tend to always go out too fast and then burn out. And this is sort of holding me back until it's warmed up. So that is the positive side of having this sort of little injury that I've got. But it's just frustrating because it comes and goes all the time. I'm working on strengthening the glutes, and hopefully that will work in the future. But again, you know, the 20K was really great. What impressed me most about this 20K is the fact that I was able to run all the hills. And Steve even commented on how well and how strong I'm running up these hills, which has always been a problem for me in the past. Hills were, I could never run a hill. So I'm really glad as to how I'm getting up these hills. And it's also just being more positive when I get to the hill and knowing that I can do it. Whereas before, I would get to a hill and mentally I'd already told myself that I'm going to have to walk somewhere through this hill. And it's just this positive attitude that I've got going into the hill that gets me going up the hill. At just a gentle, steady pace, and I find it's working. I've done a lot of research on how to run hills more effectively and efficiently, and then also just listen to advice from fellow runners on the road, and just putting all these little pieces together seems to have worked for me. So I'm really, really impressed with the way I'm running hills, and obviously Comrades hills are a lot steeper, but I've got a couple of months to get there. So by the time I get there, hopefully I'll be able to do exactly the same thing. Then, yes, this week is pretty much a rest week for me. I've got the big one coming up on Sunday, the Vol Marathon, my comrades qualifier. So a good friend of mine that's been sort of giving me advice and coaching me told me this week rest, and then maybe just do two, what he calls fast runs of about 3 kilometers, a kilometer out, a kilometer back, and a little warm-up and cool-down, and just what he calls activating your muscles. So you do them quick, and apparently it just let your muscles know that you're still a runner. It is pretty difficult not to go out running because you feel like you're losing fitness. But I'm just disciplining myself not to do that, and I'm going to go and do these short three kilometers and see how that goes. And then, yes, it's bowl on Sunday. I'm excited, but I'm also nervous. It's a flat course, so we're going to constantly work. There's really no uphills or downhills to speak of. So you're constantly working. But yes, I think I can do pretty well in it, just given my times throughout the year. And if I'm sensible at the start and don't go out like a lunatic, I really think I've got a good chance of having a good run. Predictions, I've predicted pretty much close to all my other races this year. So the prediction for this race is going to be a 4 hours 40. If I can run a 4 hours 40, I'll be extremely happy. The cutoff for comrades qualifying is 4 hours 50. Comrades Association changed it this year to 4:50 from 5 hours last year. So if I can do a 4:40, it gives me a nice 10-minute breather, and I'm not running under pressure. But look, if I qualify in 4 hours 59 minutes and 59 seconds, I'll take that as well. I'll be just as happy. Last year, I didn't manage to do a sub-4:50. So this year, if I do sub-4:50, it's going to be okay. But like I say, I'm looking forward to it, and I think I can do well. I'm positive that I can get a good qualifying time. So let's hope that next week when I give my report back, you'll have one times cue ball victorious and happy, reporting that he's officially going to be lining up at the Comrades 2019 start line. Thanks, Derek. Gonna hit the ground running.
From a possible video game character, and seriously, it is a thing, Boot Fighter. Check it out on Facebook. Darren's through to the semi-finals or something. All you need to do is go log on to the Boot Fighter page, click and vote for him, and then eventually, hopefully, he'll get into the game. Now moving on to a guy who actually plays video games and any other gadget under the sun, Stephen Hill.
The Tech Session with Steve Hill.
It's as if on cue they heard us talking about the Apple Watch last week, and Samsung has finally announced a real challenger on paper, the Galaxy Watch Active. Well, to be honest, it was actually to align with the launch of their new phone, leading into this week's Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, but we'll claim it here at Run Hunter for now. It's the newest smartwatch in Samsung's line of wearable tech, but it will only be available from the 8th of March 2019. That's next week. We'll have a quick discussion about what the exciting features are reported to be, but there's obviously not any real use case feedback because it's still in the future. The Galaxy Watch Active comes in a single size with a 40mm total diameter display. It weighs 25 grams and has two buttons on the right side of its face. It's going to have four colors: midnight black, blue, silver, and rose gold. And like other smartwatches, the bands can be swapped and customized to your preference. The new watch can monitor the wearer's heart rate and track a variety of exercises, integrating with Samsung's Galaxy wearable app for advanced tracking. The smartwatch comes with standard 3G, LTE and Bluetooth support and can charge wirelessly using Samsung's proprietary charger. I also saw an interesting article about the new Samsung phone that mentions the wearables can now also charge directly from the back of the phone wirelessly. That's a first, and it's really cool. Another new feature is the reported blood pressure monitoring, which some suggested would put it ahead of its key rivals. This will come later in March through a research app developed in partnership with UC San Francisco called MyBP Lab. From mid-March, users can download the MyBP Lab app via the Google Play Store, which now integrates directly to the Galaxy Watch Active and the Galaxy line of smartphones. Samsung stated that this would allow people to monitor blood pressure and keep better track of their physical health every day. Innovative? You bet. Unfortunately, as is the case with these manufacturer-specific devices, the Galaxy Watch Active will lose access to some features when paired to an iPhone. But it can be paired, and it will work. Apple's iOS operating system will prevent users from being able to answer iMessages on the watch. That's a feature that we discussed last week, but the Samsung Watch app will still help to manage the fitness features on the watch. The hardware is not as premium as the Apple Watch, but it's still in direct competition to the Watch OS wearable, and will be immediately attractive to Android users who want a smartwatch that works with their Android phone. Fitness and running wise, which is where we're interested, it covers more than 39 activities and has been certified to around 50 meters waterproof. Something that I mentioned last week as a miss on the Apple Watch, the new Galaxy Watch Active also supports sleep tracking out of the box. By giving you more insight into your sleeping patterns, rather than just monitoring your sleep cycle and displaying your sleep cycle results the following morning, the Galaxy Watch Active could be a really great tool for tracking sleep. And I'll quickly add here that during this week, the rumors have started to indicate that this feature will now be included on the Apple Watch come September. Again, a coincidence? I think we'll claim it. In terms of battery capacity, the Galaxy Watch Active has a small 230 milliamp hour battery. How that performs and how Samsung have made changes to better optimize this remain to be seen. It has the standard built-in GPS to track activities, but obviously there are no stats on battery cycle and performance just yet. It lets you install third-party apps such as Strava to track activities, and you can also download Spotify and other music apps to add tunes to your sweat sessions, so fully customizable. I'll revert back to everybody on the Samsung Galaxy Watch Active once we've got our hands on one and have been able to really test it. Keep an eye out, especially all you Android fans. This one sounds like it's going to be really interesting. Please mail us at runhuntedtech@icloud.com if you want us to review anything. I'm also on Instagram at Stephen P. Hill. Bye. Gonna hit the ground running.
Last but definitely not least, let's head to Centurion for the final stretch for our Club of the Week.
Club commitments.
This week's Club of the Week, Alpha Centurion Runners Walkers. On the line, I've got the chairman, Dwight Mulligan. Dwight, good morning. Thanks for chatting to us. Tell us a bit more about your club.
Hello. Well, basically, we are situated in Club View in Centurion, and we're basically about between 200 and 300 members. The club has been here for ages, probably from the 80s. And, I'm the chairman basically for this year. Well, I've taken over from Yuri Ordan. And, that's about it.
Established 1975, you guys certainly have been going for a very long time, and you certainly are established. I mean, that sums it up perfectly. And you are also the home of the My Way Wally Hayward Marathon, one of the most epic races in karting.
Yes, that's correct. The race takes place basically on the 1st of May every year, and it's a very big event that is sponsored through My Way insurance, basically. And we've got everything from 1K for the children, playground. We've got a 5K, 10K, 21K, and a 42K for the more serious runners.
Brilliant. So you say that's the 1st of May, so you've got exactly 2 months to prepare. Of course, your preparations have probably been going since the end of last year's race, so I'm sure you've got that all wrapped up. Tell us about your weekly time trials, morning sessions, etc. I mean, it's not just about the Wally Hayward or other races, it's also about getting the club runners involved on a weekly basis.
Yes, no, definitely. We basically have a very good training schedule that we've had for quite a while now. It's a big mix-up between skills, speed work, and then obviously on longer, slower distances. Monday mornings, we've got a hippo route. That's a 10-kilometer route. We try and stay within an hour. It might be a bit shorter now and then. Monday mornings, we've got a training session from 5 till 6. Tuesdays, we've got a training session from 5 till 6. Wednesdays and Thursdays as well from 5 till 6. Wednesdays evening, we've got a time trial. It usually happens around between 6 and 6:30, depending on the season. And that carries on till about 7 or 8. And then afterwards, everyone sits around and has a beer or chats a bit.
And then, and then weekends we've got two trailers basically. So if there's two races on, we usually split the two trailers up and we've got the depots at both races, or everybody goes to one race. Very awesome.
Lovely. Yeah. And where are you guys based?
We are based in Club View in Centurion.
And membership-wise, how many at the moment? And I take it you're still taking an entrance. I mean, if people want to come and join, what can they do to get involved?
Yes, definitely. We are basically just about 200 members already this year, and we're still growing strong. Any day on, basically, you can either give anyone a call that there's a contact list on the website, or you can come on Wednesday to the time trial, and then you can enter on the day there. We can supply you with the race kit, clothes, anything.
Lovely. And just going over that website, it is acrw.co.za. Dwight, thanks so much. Best of luck for the next coming months, because, of course, you've got the big one on the 1st of May.
Awesome, yes, we do, definitely. And the numbers are growing tremendously. It's really going to be a very big and very awesome day. We've got a lot of very well-known runners that are going to run there, and the garden is really going to be very awesome.
Lovely stuff. Dwight, thanks so much. Have a great one, and we'll see you out on the road.
Okay, thanks a lot, Eric.
Thanks very much, Dwight, and thank you all for listening. As always, remember info@radar.media or at DerekAlberts1. Give us a ring, and we'll see you out on the road. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Run Hunter, brought to you by Radar Media.